Praise God. We will not fear. Amen. Today we're continuing in our series and looking at the 23rd Psalm. And it's such a powerful psalm that means so much to us as we walk through various seasons within our lives. We have a good shepherd to follow in every aspect of our lives. You know, today we're going to talk a little bit about our good shepherd, how he continues to lead us, you know, beside still waters, but he also leads us through the valleys, through those tough moments and tough seasons within our lives that we all face. And sometimes those moments bring out a lot of fear in our hearts, in our minds, in various things that we're facing and going through within our journey. Today, why don't we stand on up? We're going to read this psalm together again. And go through this moment of just reading together. I know you just got comfortable, you know, so it's time to exercise a little, stand on up and get ready. We're going to just say these verses together once again to let them just penetrate into our heart and into our mind today. So let's read this together. You ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we pray that You'd speak to us today. Open up our hearts to hear from You in this time. And Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your leadership. We thank You that You sustain us. We thank You that You protect us. We thank You, Lord, that You just walk with us in every season of our lives. And God, I pray that You'd open up our hearts to hear from You today. In Your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated today. I want to dig right into this today and just this understanding that He is our shepherd. And first, I want to remind us that the good shepherd cares for you personally. The good shepherd is there to walk with you in all seasons of your life, and He's there to take care of each and every one of us on a personal level in our lives. He's there with us every day. Because the Lord is my shepherd, He cares for me personally. There's four things I want to remind us of before we get into the text and verse 4, which is where we're going to park today. But just to remind us of where we are, that we serve a personal God. God's provision makes us content. Amen? We talked about that a few weeks ago, that idea that contentment should be in our lives because our God is leading us in a personal way. The last part of verse 1 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack anything necessary and good for me. I shall not want, right? Or I shall not be in want, as some translations put it, right? We shall not want. We should be able to live with contentment in our lives as we walk in harmony and in relationship with our God. He also provides us nourishment. Our God's provision nourishes us, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's a beautiful image, isn't it? Anyone need some green pastures and still waters in your life? Right? There's a lot of us that need that. We would love to be in that season. And that season is so nice because God's providing, and we see, you know, that peace that He rests us in those moments. Josephus, a first century scholar, wrote that sometimes a shepherd would force a sheep into rest. They would know how to fold the legs of a sheep so it almost, in essence, paralyzed them for a moment, and they'd lay them down, and they would be forced to rest. And there's seasons of rest in our lives. There's seasons where we do find that. Four conditions, I think Pastor Jeremy mentioned this a few weeks ago. Some conditions that must be met in order for sheep to rest. One is freedom from fear, right? And that's what we're talking about today. That idea, you know, when fear comes up in our lives, it's hard to rest, isn't it? And it's the same thing for a sheep. Freedom from conflict. Sometimes conflict destroys the rest that God wants us to have in our lives because we're fighting with each other and fighting with other sheep. How many know that when you're in moments of friction, it's really hard to rest the way that God wants us to rest because we have all the things going through our minds, all the problems, all the issues, what I should say, what I should have said, you know, all those things that happen when we're in those moments of friction. Freedom from irritations, things like bugs, flies, parasites, they bug, you know, sheep just like they bother us, right? You know, so there's little irritations that make it difficult sometimes for rest to happen in the pasture. And same thing with us, the little irritations of life can pop up and cause problems for us. Or hunger. How many know it's hard to sleep when you're hungry? Anyone hungry today? Good, you're not going to sleep during the sermon. Praise God. I got at least four with me today. You know? Yeah, you know, freedom from hunger. Sometimes hunger, you know, it makes it difficult for us to sleep. So when a sheep is hungry, they want to get up and graze and try to find more food or more nourishment. In our lives, we can have rest when some things are met in our lives and we follow a good shepherd. Remember that sheep resting in the meadows of a master have no worries, right? We don't have things to worry about when we're resting under the power and the authority of Almighty God, and He is our good shepherd. So He provides nourishment. He provides restoration for us. We talked about this last week because sometimes sheep are careless, right? Sheep get wander off. Sheep, you know, have all sorts of different problems. But consider that part that He restores my soul. To restore means to bring back to a normal state or to make new. And He does that time and time again in our lives. Christianity is a series. Your walk with God is a series of new beginnings. And many of us need maybe a new beginning today. You know, maybe you've dedicated some things to God even during this time today, during this time of communion where you say, God, this is not of You. This is not the way I should be living my life. And God, today I'm going to start living better. I'm going to start doing things according to Your word. And so those are things that happen, those new beginnings as God restores our soul. And we need those moments in our journey, in our walk with God. He also guides us. He leads me in paths of righteousness, right? For His name's sake. That's where He leads us. He leads us to good things, things that are godly, things that are of Him. He doesn't lead us to unholy places and unholy behavior, right? Our God leads us to righteousness. And many times, sheep, according to research, they even have a hard time following a well-beaten path in front of them because sheep are pretty dumb. And sometimes we're pretty dumb too. You know, we've got the path laid out for us that God says, walk this direction. And we say, God, I want to do my own thing right now. I want to do things not according to how You've laid out this path. I'm going to live how I want to live my life. But that's not how God wants to lead us. God leads us in righteousness. He leads us down paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And so those are all things that God provides for us over and over again. He brings provision that's personal and it's given. He gives us contentment and nourishment and restoration and guidance within our lives. But in verse 4, I want us to notice there's a change in this prayer. There's a big change and transition that happens during this moment in Psalm chapter 23. In verses 1 through 3, it seems like the sheep are in the sunshine, right? You know, they're in good season of life. Things are going well, you know, rest and nourishment and all those great things that we love to talk about. You know, but then we start getting into verse 4 and now they're taken out of the sunshine and they're walking in the shadows. And there's seasons in our lives that we're walking in the sunshine, things are going good. Then there's times in our lives where it seems like we're in the darkness. We're like, God, I need help right now. I'm in this storm in my life. And God, I need you, especially during this moment in my journey and my walk with you. God not only takes care of us during the delightful times, but he guides us through the dark seasons of our lives as well. Today's message is titled, He Guards Me. And that's what he does during those moments of darkness in our journey. He is there to protect us. He's there to provide for us. He's there to guide us, even in those moments in our lives. In his book, again, The Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, Philip Keller, he described how the sheep in Palestine would move the sheep from the winter pastures in the low elevations, and then he'd bring them through the valleys, and he'd bring them up to the mountain peaks to graze for the summer. They had to go through these valleys in order to get to this great place that the shepherd wanted them to go and provide for their needs for that summer season. And so there was valleys they had to walk through so that the terrain wouldn't get too treacherous. It was too steep otherwise, so they had to walk through the valleys and find just the right place where they can go to those higher elevations, so the shepherd could meet their needs during the summer season. And so, you know, in our lives, you know, there's moments that God leads us. In order to reach the mountaintop, the sheep had to go through the valleys. And I believe that's why David wrote, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The clear implication is that the valleys are things that we can expect in our lives. The valleys are there. We're going to find them. There's going to be seasons, there's going to be moments that we feel like we're in that valley, we're in that darkness, we're in that moment that we say, you know, there's danger here. There's danger all around me, you know, when we look at those situations and those seasons of our life. Last week we discussed how the shepherd guides us along paths of righteousness. And as we observe verse 4, often the paths are a go directly through valleys. That's tough, isn't it? We talk about how God leads us to the good things, but you know what? Sometimes God leads us through the valleys. He leads us through those seasons, through those moments where we start questioning a lot of things, where we say, God, what is going on in my world right now? I believe that we've been often misled to think that if Jesus is our shepherd, we can avoid all the valleys in life. You know, that's a false teaching that's out there, and sometimes a false perception that every one of us have. That, you know, as long as I follow my shepherd, I'm never going to face a difficult season in my life. I'm never going to have to walk through a valley. But you know what? We're going to walk through valleys in our lives. But let me remind you today that you're not walking through those valleys alone. If you're following your shepherd, he's there with you in the midst of all the issues and the struggles and the trials that you're facing. He is that good shepherd, and he's promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and we can follow him in all situations of our lives. The Bible repeatedly emphasizes that we should expect valleys within our lives. The next point I want to look at and get into verse 4 here is that the good shepherd guards us so we don't have to live in fear. The good shepherd guards us so we don't have to live in fear. That was weak, but I'll take it. Right? That was one of those moments I paused for you in everything. I said it twice. That was one of those great amen moments. Right? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they bring comfort to me. So not only is God not going to lead us to a place where he's there with us so we don't have to fear, but in addition to not being afraid, he's going to comfort us even in those moments because we have such a good shepherd with us. This may be hard for some of us to remember, but remember when you were a kid, right? Remember when you were a child and you're laying in bed at night and you see a shadow, right? Or you hear the wind blowing against the house and you're like, what in the world is going on? You know, everything's about to get me. You know, there's the boogeyman in the closet type of a thing going on. You know what happened when those moments hit in your life? I think a lot of times, and most of us, especially if we had a good mom and dad, you know, during those moments, we'd cry out for mom and dad, wouldn't we? And maybe we'd crawl into bed with mom and dad for a little while, or at least knowing that mom and dad were there, it brought peace into our hearts, even in the midst of our fears. And I think the same is true. Even as adults, we face fears. We face moments of friction. We face a lot of things that are uncomfortable to us. As we get older, we're not immune from our fears. In our lives today, God can help us with our fear. But did you notice here another change from verse 3 to verse 4? It's powerful when we start thinking about it and really just analyzing it. In verses 1 through 3, David describes the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me. He restores me. He leads me. But now in the last couple of verses, he changes here. There's a change in describing the shepherd to that personal relationship, right? No longer is it he guides us, he restores us, he leads us. Now it's you, right? There's a transition to you in David's prayer. You are with me, your rod, your staff, you prepare a table, you anoint my head with oil. So there's a big change here from describing the God that's there, to the God that's with me, right? That personal God that's walking with me. You are with me, right? It's no longer describing he is with me. It's he, you are with me. And there's that personal prayer, you know, that is there. And he talks about how God will be with him and you will walk with me, right? You'll walk, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Let's talk about death for a moment today. I know, cheerful, isn't it? You came to church to hear about death today, didn't you? All right, that's hopefully, I don't know if that's on your list to hear about, but here you go. There's a website out there that I found as I was getting ready for this message today. Here's a morbid website for you. You ready? It's called deathclock.org. And so deathclock.org, you can plug in some things about yourself, and it's going to tell you when you're going to die. So according to this website, honey, where are you? I don't know where you are today, but mark this on your calendar, wherever you are. Where are you? I can't find her. I don't know. I still can't find you. Well, here's the date. Thursday, October 16th, 2070. According to deathclock.org, I'm going to die in 2070. So that means I'm going to live to 92. I don't know, maybe, I don't know, that's a long time. That means I'm halfway through my life because I'm 46 right now, so I'm halfway there, right? However, it changed. One thing that was fascinating about this site, I find myself to be pretty optimistic, you know, as in my nature of things. But if I changed from optimistic to neutral, I lost like 20-something years off my life. I was like, wow, I better maintain my optimistic view. You pessimists, I didn't even check pessimism. You know, if I was a pessimist, maybe I'd lose a whole lot more than that. So you pessimists, watch out. You know, you might be on borrowed time. But anyway, you know, it's funny to think about, you know, all these things and the prediction of death. But one thing that's going to happen, if the Lord tarries, there's going to be a moment in our lives where our life collides with death, right? And that's a reality in our situations, in every one of our stories. Again, unless Jesus comes again and raptures the church. So what happens at death? Well, for the Christian, we get to go home and be with God. Right? We're ushered in the presence of Almighty God. There's no in-between place that you're going if you're a Christian. When you die, you go in the presence of Almighty God. That's what the Bible teaches us. For 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, I'll skip verse 7, but it says this, so we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not home with the Lord. Skip down to verse 8. Yes, we're fully confident that we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, and then we will be home with the Lord. Right? When we're away from these bodies, then we will become home with the Lord. What happened to the criminals on the cross as they were talking to Jesus? That one criminal said, "This is the Messiah," right? And so he, right there, he said, "Truly, I say to you," Jesus said to him, "today you will be with me in paradise." Right? Today, right? That idea that we are going to, when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, once we die a physical death, we will be ushered into the presence of Almighty God. However, if we don't have a relationship with God, we're going to be sent to torment in separation from God in our futures, right? That's what happens at death. Either we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and we're ushered into His presence, or we do not and we reject our Savior. And if we reject our Savior, we're going to be sent to torment. And you can read about that. Jesus talks about that a little bit in Luke chapter 16 and the story there in verses 22 to 24. It says, "Finally, the poor man died and was carried to the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus by his side. The rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames.'" So there we see somebody that didn't have a relationship with God that died and was sent into torment. And so that's what happens. We're either going to go to heaven or go be with our Heavenly Father for all of eternity, or we're going to be sent to torment. And so that's what happens to us at death, depending on where we are in our relationship with Almighty God. So at death, you'll either be with the Lord or you'll be within torment. There's no in between. You can know that you can go home to be with the Lord by giving your life to Him and making Him your Lord and your Master. That's what we need to do. Accept and believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, confess our sins to God, and make Him the leader of our lives. Because we like to be leaders of our lives. You know, when we give our heart to Jesus, He becomes the leader and the master of our lives. And that's what happens at salvation. So we'll get off of that. We're done talking about death. Are you thankful? Yes, I'm thankful too. The Lord guides us. The Lord protects us as we concentrate on the shepherd's power rather than on our problems. You know, the shepherd carries two things with him according to this passage. We see he carries the rod and the staff, right? "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me," is what David wrote. The rod, it's a club-like weapon measured about 2 feet long. Some clubs, some of these rods had some wire or metal or something, thorns or something on the end of it. You know, and the shepherd would use that sometimes to correct the sheep. That's not very fun, is it? You know, that rod, but it brings comfort into our lives because sometimes God needs to correct us. It hurts when we're corrected by our shepherd, but it's good for us all the same. He carries this rod, yes, to protect, but that, or just to correct, but that's a minimal use of this this rod. What it's really for is to protect against the predators. When the predators would start coming, they would use this rod and they would throw it, or they would back off the predators that were coming after the sheep. And so this rod brought comfort to the sheep because they knew that as long as my shepherd was carrying that rod, I'm protected, right? You know, whatever predators might come my way, no matter what I might be facing, I can trust in my shepherd. He also carried the rod and the staff, right? We're all familiar with the picture of a staff, right? That long stick that had the curved end on it. And the shepherd would use that to bring the sheep back into walking in the right direction in their lives. And so many times, again, we get off of the path, and the shepherd would use that to bring them back on the path and get them walking in the right direction once again. Or sometimes they'd fall in a pit, and the shepherd would use that to pull them out of the pit, right? All sorts of different ways that the shepherd would use that. But when the shepherd had the rod and the staff, it brought comfort to the sheep, knowing that they would be provided for and they would be protected in their lives. So even in the most dangerous situations for the sheep, they knew they can trust their shepherd because their shepherd was there and their shepherd was walking with them and their shepherd was helping them in all things, in all areas of their lives. But notice what we don't read. We don't read sheep carrying rods and staffs, do we? Sometimes in church, we meet some Christians that like to carry a rod as if they're Jesus themselves. We see them carrying a staff as if they were Jesus themselves. And so we need to be careful that sheep don't pick up rods and staffs, right? Sheep follow the shepherd, and that's what we need to do in our lives. Let's keep our eyes fixed on our King. Let's stop worrying about maybe what everybody else is doing for a moment, and let's worry about making sure we're following after the good shepherd in our lives and everything we do and everything we say within our journeys in our lives. We've already discussed several times in this series, sheep are prone to wandering off and getting themselves into trouble. They are quite skittish and easily spooked. Again, problematic as the sheep travel through the valleys to go to the higher ground. Therefore, it's in the valleys that the presence of the shepherd is so necessary to bring comfort to the sheep. And it's during those moments, those valleys in our lives, that I challenge us to keep our eyes fixed on our King. Make sure we're following after Him, making sure we're doing everything we can to stay close to the shepherd because He's there with us. He's protecting you and He's guiding you in every aspect of your life. The last point I want to look at today as we get ready to close in a few minutes is that as I follow the good shepherd, we must understand that every valley is a path to something better. Every valley you face is a path to something better. John chapter 10, 11, one verse out of John. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He describes himself as the good shepherd. That's Jesus talking and saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'm good shepherd because the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. As disciples of Jesus, it's natural for us to wonder why the good shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep. Why would he lead the same sheep to a valley filled with danger and threats? The only possible answer is to guide us to a better place. Even in the worst case, where the valley might lead us into death, as the psalmist talks about, that's not that bad for a believer, is it? That's actually a good thing. You know, precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. That's what the Word of God teaches us. It's precious in the sight of God when someone that's following after Him dies. Why? Because then we're reunited with Almighty God. And it's a beautiful reunion that we get to look forward to in our lives. You know, we get to go home and be in the presence of Almighty God for all of eternity. We are strangers in this world, is what Paul says. And we're just passing through, I think Paul or maybe Peter, whoever it is, said, you know, we're strangers and aliens. We're just walking through this world, and we need to give our heart to Jesus and understand that when we give our heart to Jesus, this place is no longer our home. Our home is in heaven with our Almighty God for all of eternity. For the sheep, the valley is a very dangerous place. The sheep in the valley's bottom is vulnerable to their predators. While there is sufficient food and water in those valleys to support the sheep during their journey, there wasn't enough pasture there for them to remain. So the sheep were just passing through the valley to reach the higher plains, the mountaintops, so that they could, you know, graze in those places that God had for them. And so there's often abundant food in open areas so that they would be able to provide for their sheep. So the same is true in our lives. Sometimes in order to lead us to the mountaintops He has prepared for us, the shepherd must guide us through the valleys where we will encounter danger, where we probably will face discouragement, where we know we will face difficulties in those seasons. Often, while we're in those dark valleys, we not only can't see a better place ahead, but we find ourselves and we can't even find our way out of that valley on our own. The good news is that we follow a shepherd that is there with us, that is there, that is a good shepherd that we can follow after in every aspect of our lives. In John 10, Jesus said, He didn't say, I am a shepherd. He didn't say, I am a good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. Right? There's only one. He's the only good that's out there, right? Is our Heavenly Father, and He's the one we're following after. Is there any goodness in our lives? It's as a result of following after Him in our lives and what He does in our hearts and in our minds. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him." Our Lord is good, and we can take refuge in Him in our lives. He gave up all He had in heaven to come and save us. And by His sacrifice, we can have a relationship with God and know that we're going to go to heaven with Him. How can we trust Him? Because He's the Son of God. He's God Himself. He's our good shepherd, and we can follow Him. He's the creator of the world. He's the originator of light and of life. To deny Him is to turn from God Himself. To deny Him is to continue to walk in darkness and in death. Only Jesus offers true life. We must trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, some famous Bible verses that we all probably could quote, especially in a lot of difficult seasons in our lives. We quote these words, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. How difficult is that when we're facing those valleys and those situations and those struggles in our lives? We must trust in God. We cannot lean on our own understanding, because His ways are higher than our ways. His knowledge is above our knowledge. He is greater than we could ever imagine in our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We can give you a lot of reasons to trust in God, but King Solomon tells us that we can trust in God because when we do, He guides us. Our part is to do the trusting. His part's to do the guiding. Isn't that beautiful? That's your part. All you have to do is trust in God. That's all you have to do in those moments, in every season of your life. All you have to do is trust in God, and He will lead us. He will guide us in our lives. In Hebrew, the word trust means to place all your weight. That's what it means in Hebrew, place all your weight. When you go to bed, when you went to bed last night, how did you get in bed? Some of us, if we're young, maybe we ran and dove in bed, right? You know, if we're maybe a little older, we just sort of fell in bed. You know, some of us, it took an adventure to get into bed, or maybe you're sleeping in a recliner these days, right? All sorts of different ways that we get into bed, but we put all our weight in that bed, right? We're trusting that that bed's going to hold us up at night. How many had fear that your bed was going to collapse on you last night? Anyone? Yeah, maybe. You know? Yeah, we need to trust. We trust in our bed that is going to hold us when we put all our weight in that bed. We put our trust in a lot of things. You put your trust in that chair today that I was going to hold you, right? When you sat down, that you weren't going to crumble to the floor. Thank God we have nice chairs in this church that will hold our weight. Praise God, right? In our relationship with God, you know, it's the same kind of thing. We put all our trust in Him. We don't try to figure it out on our own. We don't even contemplate what happens if God doesn't pull through. We trust in Him because we know that He is trustworthy. We can put all our weight in that situation. We can put it all in, right? You know, put it all in on Jesus and say, "God, I'm giving you my everything. I'm not holding back anything anymore. I'm not going to try to figure it out on my own. I'm going to trust in You in all things, in all areas of my life." So I challenge you today, are you trusting in Him like you should? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For You're with me, and Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." So today, as we close this message, I want us just to think about this and process this today. If you're in a moment where you're discouraged, this psalm tells us that we should not fear. And so maybe some of us are living in fear today. I want to pray for you if you're living in fear today, that God will come and bring release to that fear. because we don't have to walk in fear as children of God. If you've given your heart to Jesus, if you made him your Lord and your master, you don't have to live in fear. That's not a characteristic of a child of the King. We don't have to live in fear because we follow the Good Shepherd, because he is there to provide for us. He's there to walk with us. He's there to help us in all things. And what's the worst that could happen? We go home and be with our Heavenly Father, and that's not too bad. We don't have to live in fear. If you're discouraged today, I challenge you, remember, you don't have to live in fear. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You are with me. You are with me. You need to fix your eyes on Jesus. The psalm tells us that he's with us right now in that season, whatever it is, whether it's a good season or a bad season, he's there with you. So fix your eyes on your King. And man, some of that fear will start melting away when you get your eyes off the situation and get your eyes fixed back on your King. And you say, God, I'm following after you. God, I'm all in. I'm following your leadership in my life. And we rely on God's protection. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is there with us. That brings comfort to us. That in the moments, in the darkest moments of our lives, we can receive comfort from Almighty God, because he's there to provide for us. He's there to protect us. He's there to help us. He's there to keep us on the right path and make sure we're going in the right direction. And we need to continue to follow and submit to Almighty God. So I challenge you today, if you're in that moment, if you're in that season, if you're in that struggle in your life, keep going after your God. Keep your eyes fixed on him and understand that you can trust in God. He's a good God, and he's there with you in all things. He's there to guard you. He's there to protect you. He's there to guide you. But we as his sheep must be willing to submit to the authority of Almighty God. Have you submitted your life to Almighty God? Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes right now in this place. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I have not submitted to Jesus and I need to give him my heart. I need to give him my life. And right now you want to give your life to Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to do anything embarrassing. I just want you to slip up your hand so I know I'm talking to you today. If you're here today and you say, I need to dedicate my life to Jesus, go ahead and raise your hand in this house today. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Our God is there with us. Our God wants that relationship with us. So today, if you've already given your heart to Jesus, repeat after me anyway. If you're here and you raised your hand, you say, I need to give my heart to Jesus. I want to start fresh here today. I just want you to, I'm going to help you through this prayer. There's nothing magical in these words. It's just coming to a point where we're admitting that we need Jesus as our Savior. We're confessing our sins to God and just saying, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And that's what we're going to do in this moment here today. So why don't you repeat after me, those that already have a relationship with Jesus and those that are giving their heart to Jesus right now. Let's pray these words together today. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've messed up time and time again. But I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And today, once again, I give my heart to you. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. And help me to live for you. I put you in charge of my life. I am no longer my own. I am no longer in charge of what I do. I now submit to you in everything I do and say. I love you so much, and I'm so thankful that you died on the cross for my sins. Thank you for your love. And today I commit to you that I will follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we love you so much. And God, I pray right now over every one of us that are here, those that are watching online, Lord, that you will just continue to be the center of everything we do and everything we say. God, if we're here, if they're discouraged today, if anyone's discouraged today, God, help us to fear no evil because you are with me. God, I pray that we'd fix our eyes on you and trust you in every aspect of our lives and every aspect of our situation right now. God, that our part is to do the trusting, and God, that you will continue to guide. And God, I pray right now that we will submit to your leadership, and God, that we will follow you with every aspect of our lives. We love you so much, and thank you for your presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you're here today and you accepted Christ as your Savior, you just want to talk, I just want to pray with you. So as we dismiss, why don't you come forward? You can come talk with me, or Pastor Jeremy will also be up here, and you can talk with either one of us, and we'd love to just to spend a moment with you, pray with you, and just encourage you in your relationship with God. Everyone else, if you're here or new to our church, you know, we want to eat with you. How many want like food? Right? How many would like to sit down and talk? You know, a lot of us. If you're here and newer to our church, or maybe you've been here a long time, and you say, I'd love to just sit down with the pastoral staff and have lunch with them, then you're welcome to do that. We're going to go right down to the fireside room and have lunch together, so we invite you to go and do that. Today on the way out, the ushers are going to give out some faith promise cards. We talked about that last week a little. We'll talk a little bit about that more next week as we get ready for our missions convention. Love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of the week, and hope to see you on Wednesday night for our outpouring prayer service.